gentlemen, it's Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room. And yes, it is a bit of a fateful day in InfoWars history, isn't it? And I won't be lamenting on that topic too much. If there is anything to report, obviously we will bring it to you. Alex Jones is standing by as well. If there are any developments that we need to report to our audience today. But for the latest updates, obviously you can tune into the Alex Jones Show daily, as long as we're still here. But you can go watch what he had to say and what he's been posting on X for updates there. Now, I, for the next 3 hours, am going to be digging into the latest appointments in the Trump administration. We've got huge appointments today, and this cabinet is really starting to fill up. We also have the news of the Senate majority leader being confirmed. So we got all that coming up. We also have Donald Trump in Washington, D.C., breaking news in the White House with Joe Biden, who looks happiest I've ever seen him look, I think, ever with Donald Trump. Wonder what that's about. Is that him just rubbing it in the Democrats' faces that ran the coup, or is he working with Trump now? You'll see how happy Joe Biden is. And then Trump makes a bit of a joke about a third term? What did he mean by that? Now, considering the current situation that we are in here, I do intend to take a lot of calls. And I put out a message earlier today asking people, should it be the final day we're on air? Should it be? What is your message today for Alex Jones and for the InfoWars team? And we've had thousands of responses. And so I will be reading a lot of those today live on the air from our great supporters, listeners, audience, guests as well. So we got that coming up. And ironically, as the InfoWars story, the fate of InfoWars is obviously a big news story today, CNN and MSNBC find themselves in the news cycle as well. You see, when they have to go and either shut down these news organizations or basically just turn them over because of the lack of success, because of the lack of ratings, the lack of interest, the lack of accuracy, that's not what goes on here. No, if it was based on accuracy or ratings or success, InfoWars would be number one. So we were number one, so they had to come after us, the persecution, the lawfare, and then ultimately the goal, obviously, to shut us down, as they say in their own statements. But when it's MSN and when it's MSNBC and CNN, they're such failures, they lose on their own accord. So it's an interesting juxtaposition to see both of these things really happening at the same time. So we'll briefly talk about that. But a ton of political news coming out of Washington, D.C. today. There is some geopolitical international news that we've kind of been putting off to the side in the election cycle. But some interesting stories that we'll talk about there as well. And then, where, you know, the liberal breakdown, psychotic break after the Trump election videos continue. They haven't stopped, but okay, whatever. But a lot of them are teachers, we're finding out. And they're having psychotic breaks in front of their students now. And these breaks are being recorded. We've already shown you a couple of these. There's more coming up today as well, along with your phone calls. A throwback here. The crew taking a shot and scoring on this Wednesday, November 13th, 2024 live transmission. Congratulations, guys. You did it. I mean, look, they take a shot and they fail. They feel the wrath of Owen Schroyer. They know it's a risk. But that one hits. That's a throwback intro. Man, we private played that for years. All right. What a great crew we have. What a great audience we have. What a great impact InfoWars has had over the years. And when I see what's going on with this cabinet, you know, I've kind of been back and forth. I think entering today, you know, we did the breakdown and the grades to open yesterday's show. And just for a quick note here, we did record the first two segments. That was new content when we did the grades. And then we had some reruns because Alex needed the crew to go over some technical things here as we're moving forward with just kind of a team meeting. So that's why we had the rerun yesterday. We are live today. But I was sitting there and, you know, probably looking at it saying, all right, well, I'm looking at a C grade right now. And then there was some other news today. And then towards the end of the day, right before we go live, I mean, now this cabinet, I was thinking of coming in today with a B rating. It's B plus, maybe even A minus now, based off of the last news that we've heard. Roger Stone on the Alex Jones Show just about an hour ago announcing Tulsi Gabbard is going to be the director of national intelligence. And then right before we go on air, Matt Gaetz announced as the attorney general. That might be my favorite pick so far. And I'm a very loyal person, extremely loyal. It's one of my strong traits. I mean, maybe even to my detriment at times, but I'm as loyal as it gets. And there weren't too many people in politics. There weren't too many people in Congress that were fighting for me or would dare even mention my name or my case when I was being politically persecuted and when I was a free speech prisoner. Matt Gaetz was one of them, as was Vivek Ramaswamy. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Clay Higgins, there were some others. But Matt Gaetz probably had the biggest impact when it came to raising awareness from a congressional seat of my persecution and my speech imprisonment. So I'll never forget that. I will always support Matt Gaetz for that. And I think because of that, this to me is my favorite pick. And as Attorney General, you know, that's not really a ceremonious thing. I mean, you look at some of these other appointments and, you know, there's a lot of ceremony, but what is the real impact? AG is serious. So I celebrate this. I congratulate Matt Gaetz. And, you know, I guess if we can't have him for Speaker of the House, Attorney General would probably do us one better. And while, again, I think it's bad politics to sacrifice a seat, even if it's a safe seat like in Florida. But this one, I'll just go ahead and forget it. That's an A plus. Donald Trump gets an A plus for the appointment of Matt Gaetz. Congratulations, Matt. Congratulations. Really looking forward to you being Attorney General. Now dealing with these appointments and the confirmations, that's a whole other story, and we'll wait and see. John Thune, officially now the majority leader in the Senate. And look, I'm not going to be too negative on this. I don't like it. I'll give it a D trending down right now. John Thune is the Senate majority leader. I'll give it a D trending down. You know, he said some good things today. He said some bad things in the past. Let's see what happens with it. But if he really means what he says about Trump's agenda, then he should stop wavering on the recess appointments like he has so far today when asked by the press. And I look at Thune as a McConnell with a pulse. And really, when you look at the whole process, it's petty. It's cowardice. This like high school pecking order of who gets to be the majority leader, and they do the vote in secret because they all know that we the people and that the MAGA movement does not want John Thune. And so then they played politics. Cornyn stuck around just to take votes away from Rick Scott
and then they get Thune across the finish line. So it was very, very petty political process. I give it a D trending down. Let's see what happens with the appointments, and let's see if John Thune means what he says now, which is he's all in on the Trump agenda. We shall see. That's just some of the announcements. It's official. The Department of Government Efficiency going to be run by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I could do a whole show on things that Vivek and Elon have said in the past that are just like total home runs. Things that Musk and Ramaswamy have really been campaigning on. Musk didn't run for office, but he's been campaigning with Trump, and Vivek did run for president. And the things that they have said in the last, let's say, 12 months, I mean, folks, it's like one of us, Vivek Ramaswamy, putting the media on blast when they come after him. Both Musk and Ramaswamy have been extremely critical, to put it lightly, of Anthony Fauci, the vaccines. So if you want to say, well, you know, maybe Trump's short-sighted here or Trump's wrong on this, well, it's almost like if Trump has a hole here or there on policy or approach, it's filled in now with Musk and Ramaswamy. The Department of Government Efficiency's X account is officially live as well. Last I checked, it had 120,000 followers. It's like 5 hours after launching, 120,000 followers, probably around 200,000 now, I would guess. This thing is taking off. Trump says Musk and Ramaswamy to lead government efficiency effort. And they are just going to, quote, dismantle government bureaucracy, slash excess regulations, cut wasteful expenditures, and restructure federal agencies. Say it louder for the people in the back and the big bureaucratic class and the management class and the limousine liberals that just love government bureaucracy. It's their whole life. It's what they're into. They're panicked. They're freaking out. Elizabeth Warren is panicking. All the Democrat paid for agitators and propaganda agents are freaking out. Imagine that. Imagine that. They always did love big government, didn't they? And all we had to do was threaten to take away their little toy, threaten to take away their gemstones, threaten to take away their scepter, and they are going into fits of panic and rage. Because how are they going to control your life? How are they going to tell you what to do? How are they going to oppress you and choke you out without the bureaucratic management system? Of course they can't. Because really they have no power based off of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's all this color of law. It's all this synthetic, illegitimate power that's supposed to be overseen by Congress, but they've let us down. So now it's just time to say goodbye. Good night. The stuffed suits have no idea what's coming, says Vivek Ramaswamy in response to Elizabeth Warren freaking out over this. Why do you guys love the government so much? Why do you love the bureaucratic administration so much? Matt Gaetz, Attorney General. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Tulsi Gabbard, that's an A pick. Matt Gaetz, that's an A-plus pick. Again, let's go down this list. Susie Summerall Wiles, Chief of Staff. That's a C trending up. Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. That's an A, solid A. Tom Holman to be considered as the border czar. That's a strong A. Elise Stefanik to be considered U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. That's a C, maybe trending down. She's basically just there as a voice for Israel, but let's just more importantly hope that we can maintain that seat in the House. That's really why I don't like this pick, because we've abandoned that seat in the House. The Democrats have flipped seats in special elections in recent history. They just flipped two seats in this election cycle. Abandoning that seat in the House is a bad political strategy to me. Mike Huckabee to consider U.S. ambassador to Israel. That's basically just a fluff position. It doesn't even matter, but I like Mike Huckabee. Lee Zeldin to be considered for the Environmental Protection Agency. He's going to be in charge of the EPA. That's a B pick. That's a B. Kristi Noem for Homeland Security Secretary. That's a C trending down. Maybe a D, really. Maybe a C minus right now. I don't know what Homeland Security. I don't know what bona fides and attribute she gets for that. Plus, she signs anti-free speech laws. Marco Rubio is officially the Secretary of State. Now, this isn't my theory. It's my producer, Scott, coming in here. And, you know, he could be on to something. But he's basically saying, hey, maybe this is a strategy for Trump to get Rubio out of the Senate and then have him under his control, because he can just fire him at will. And you get kind of this squish Republican out of the Senate. You can replace it with a more MAGA Republican in a Florida Senate race that's, you know, 98% chance you can win a Senate. Well, I guess it'll be appointed. But you can replace that seat with somebody who's strong MAGA instead of Rubio, who's been wishy-washy in the past. And really, in a process of government efficiency, you can just, I mean, the State Department and the Secretary of State's role could just basically become nothing anyway. It'll just be totally ceremonious. So, you know, I get it. We don't really like Marco Rubio in that position, but, you know, maybe there is a strategy there from Trump. So we'll give it a C. We'll just leave it there for now. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Now, they're freaking out about Pete Hegseth. And, you know, there are people that are complaining about this, but that's mostly just based off of foreign policy issues. As far as his politics are concerned, he's about as good as it gets. And you look at the liberals, he's a TV show host. Well, no, he's actually a decorated veteran, and he actually still has a role in the military. So you're just completely wrong about that. And then, do you want to talk about Leon Panetta? Do you want to talk about Ash Carter? Do you want to talk about the current leadership at the VA? None of them were veterans. None of them were veterans. Did you hear that? All the current leadership at the VA, none of them are veterans. The Democrats put Leon Panetta. The Democrats put Ash Carter. Neither of them veterans. So let's all calm down about Pete Hegseth. Oh, he has no experience. What he has, no, he's a TV show. No, he's a decorated veteran, and he still has a role in the military, and so you have no room to talk. And they say, oh, this isn't a serious pick. You think men can get pregnant and have periods, so please don't enter the conversation on seriousness. Thank you. So Pete Hegseth, I give a B. I'd give a B. Strong B. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. Again, people have an issue with him because of, you know, foreign policy. Very hawkish. I don't like it because we pull a seat. You can say, well, it's Florida, so it's probably a good chance you can maintain it. Well, okay, maybe. I still don't like doing it. I'd say this, though, for those reasons, probably C minus right now. I'd say C minus. White House counsel William McGinley. This guy's been loyal to Trump for years. So he just is loyal to Trump. He gets that. We'll just say that's a B. He's just been around Trump for a while. CIA Director John Ratcliffe. I give that a B. Pretty strong. He's worked with Trump before as the Director of National Intelligence. Anything's better than the current CIA. Trump says John Ratcliffe has been a warrior for truth and honesty with the American public. It's hard for me to like anybody at the CIA. So, I mean, I kind of just give it a B just because when CIA is next to your name, you just automatically get a negative. But we'll say John Radcliffe gets a B and could trend upwards. Let's see what happens with the CIA, which is a big problem. Again, maybe you just gut it and it just becomes ceremonious. Some other advisors, Dan Scavino, that's an A, James Blair, Taylor Budowich. These are more behind-the-scenes people. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Now, people have concerns with him for the reasons we discussed yesterday, history with George Soros back to the 80s. And he went on 770 ABC Radio with Roger Stone this morning talking about that and explaining it and saying how he's fully behind the Trump agenda now. So is it like a shark deal where you just shark him from the Soros people? Is it a deal where you bring him in because he knows the Soros books and how Soros operates? Is he basically just a hired gun as a hedge fund manager? He'll work for anybody. Maybe some combo of all three, but I'm going to give this a C, trending up, because I liked his interview with Roger Stone. And if Roger says he's a good guy, one of us, then I'm willing to look at this from a more positive light. I don't know if that's actually official yet, but it looks like it's trending that direction. Linda McMahon as Commerce Secretary. She served in the Trump administration before as the Small Business Administrator. Big fan of Linda McMahon. Smart. Doesn't take any BS. She's also worked with other PACs like the America First Policy Action. Commerce Secretary Linda McMahon, I get that in A. RFK Jr., now, is he going to be, what is he going to serve in the Department of Health and Human Services, FDA? You know, different things are being floated around there. He will have a role. Where he ends up is still unclear. But he's already said he's going to be firing hundreds of people inside of the National Institutes of Health and other, you know, health bureaucracy. So he's just going to just bring those things down to size and whittle their power away. Trump said he would let Kennedy go wild on health in his administration. Go wild. He's going to serve as the health czar. By the way, let's say that's three people that are right next to Trump that are extremely anti-Anthony Fauci. That little gremlin, that little crook. So you like to see that. He scolded Trump, said Trump's fast food habit and diet is really, like, really bad and, like, poison. Now, Trump's kind of an enigma, isn't he, with the Diet Coke, McDonald's diet? But, you know, I'm sure as a billionaire, you probably got people preparing food for you, too, that's pretty good. RFK Jr. launches online forum to crowdsource names for 4,000 Trump administration nominees. So RFK Jr. is reaching out to the people for suggestions. RFK Jr. launches Nominees for the People site through Make America Healthy Again. Vows to clear out entire departments at the FDA. Crack down on ultra-processed foods. Beautiful. The online forum, referred to as Nominees for the People and powered by Kennedy's initiative to Make America Healthy Again, prompts visitors to nominate and vote for candidates to fill positions under the categories of America's health, economy, education, energy and infrastructure, environmental and natural resources, food and agriculture, labor and peace abroad, and peace at home. So the nominees for the people, cast your votes on nominees for the Trump team. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reaching out to the people there. Strong stuff. Strong, strong stuff, I would say. Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Matt Gaetz. Yeah, I'm looking at this now. If I started it today with a C grade, it's definitely up to a B plus, I'd say now. We are flirting with even A territory in the new Trump administration. I'm a tough A, though. See, I'm from the old days when you had to get a 93% and above to get an A. They've taken it down because the test scores and grades got so bad that they changed it. Now it's just a 90. But it used to be you had to get a 93%. But we're going to go with a B-plus right now, trending up. B-plus trending up. And by the way, on Hagseth, Pete Hagseth wrote, "Liberals are domestic enemies," in his book called The War on Warriors. Woke liberals are domestic enemies. In the book, former Army veteran rails against political ideologues and Pentagon pussies who he argues undermine the established merit-based performance metrics for recruits by pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion and critical race theory. He argues this has weakened the armed forces and is part of a wider conspiracy by Marxists to undermine the United States security. He's also said that women should not serve in combat roles. Yeah. See why the left is not a fan? You see what's going on there? By the way, as we close out this first segment, our analysis continues to be correct, and it looks like Republicans, as it will stand, will get 222 seats in the House, maybe give or take one either way. But it looks like 222 is the number that it's going to settle in, and then we'll reinvestigate this when the cabinet is filled and these other races are going to go to special elections. But it looks like right now 222 and a 4-seat advantage in the House will be the number, along with the 3-seat advantage in the Senate. Now, Mark Elias, Democrat dirty trickster Mark Elias, is trying to steal a Senate seat. Elon Musk is addressing this. And then we also have Eric Hovde from Wisconsin calling out what happened with the Vote Viagra, Vote Steroids for Tammy Baldwin in their race. So we'll get an update on that as well on the other side of the InfoWars War Room. The hammer of justice is coming, says Elon Musk just 10 minutes ago. The hammer of justice. Well, you know, they've targeted Elon Musk. They've targeted his companies. The deep state has targeted. The Democrat ratchet attorneys have targeted him. Same attorneys that targeted us, have you know. He's aware of that. So, I wonder what he means. I don't think that's a bluff. I don't think that's a hollow statement. No, I don't. Let's just hope John Thune is not going to be getting in the way of anything. Let's just hope. Now, again, he's saying all the right things now. I'm just, the Senate Republicans are still very swampy. And you've got good ones, but Tim Scott is going to be in charge of campaign funding to win races now, too. I like Tom Cotton, but he's very hawkish. It's owned by the Israeli lobby. I mean, these are the new people in positions of leadership. It's just like, ugh. So I would say that the new class of Republicans, the new right, if you will. I mean, we've officially taken over the presidential races. I mean, that's a done deal now. You're not going to become a president as a Republican if you don't sound and act like Donald Trump or more hardcore. And when you see what's going on with a lot of these House races, too, House Republicans are certainly, you know, closer to the worldview perspective of you and I, but there's still swamp all over the Senate. And this secret vote to get Thune in there, and then the rest of the leadership roles shows that the swamp, the establishment right is still very swampy in the Senate. So that's kind of like the last domino to fall in this Republican class of swamp, corrupt establishment GOP. But yeah, Trump meets with jubilant House GOP and jokes about a third term. Is he joking? There is a technicality there because of the fake impeachment that he could be entitled to another term. I don't think he wants another. I don't think he wants eight more years. Four will probably, hopefully, be enough. But yeah, who knows? Was he joking about that? Would you want more? Would you want 8 years of Trump? By the way, here's Thune. Now, again, he's wavering. He's not committing. Trump says, I want commitment to recess appointments. Here's Thune's response in clip two.
And when it comes to choosing nominees who will pass Senate confirmation?
Well, as you know, the Senate has an advise and consent role in the Constitution, so we will do everything we can to process his noms quickly, get them installed in their position so they can begin to implement his agenda.
Why didn't you say recess appointments, John? Why didn't you say it? Let's check in on how Chuck Schumer feels about it in clip three.
Mr. President, I have just been told that Senator John Thune will be the next Republican leader in the Senate. I congratulate Senator Thune on being chosen by his colleagues as the next Republican leader. I look forward to working with him. We've done many bipartisan things here in the Senate together, and I hope that continues. As you know, I strongly believe that bipartisanship is the best and often the only way to get things done in the Senate.
Eek. John Thune gets Chuck Schumer's endorsement. Ugh. It's unfortunate. The swamp still runs the Senate. Even with a small majority in the House, the new right-wing Republican age is there. But in the Senate, not quite. Swamp still runs it. Pecking order and politics and pettiness and cowardice still runs it. John Thune gets Chuck Schumer's endorsements. Think that's all you need to know. Speaking of the Senate, Mark Elias is back. He's getting involved with Bob Casey, who won't admit defeat now. So I guess the Democrats are election deniers. Everybody's declared McCormick won the Senate race. Casey won't concede. Elon Musk weighs in. The Democratic Party Senate candidate in Pennsylvania is trying to change the outcome of the election by counting non-citizen votes, which is illegal. This has been their goal all along. They are just flat out openly doing crime now. Well, if you commit the crime, Trump says you're going to be punished. By the way, Michael Whatley made public statements earlier today, and he said, I'll try to get the exact quote correct, but he said, we told the American people we would be at every tabulation center watching when every vote is cast and when every vote is counted, and we meant it, and we still are. So, you know, he didn't get too into the details or the nitty-gritty when talking about this, but he's aware of the state of these House races in California specifically. He said how it's ludicrous. They haven't called these races yet in California. He's concerned. He mentioned the situation in Pennsylvania, but says it'll be a non-starter, that they won't be able to pull it off. But now, I mean, really, the balance of power will hang in these results in these California races that should already be. It's over. But, 20,000 votes for a Democrat show up 3:30 this morning. Oh, the Democrat wins. And, Republicans don't win the House or get a slim majority. So it's the same dirty tricks. It's the same nasty habits. But, hey, I hope Whatley meant it when he said we'll be there when every vote is counted. So they're still counting. They might be counting till 2030. They might be counting till 2040. Who knows? They'll just count until the Democrat wins. It's over. Really, it's over. Republicans have 222 seats. There are a couple races that, I mean, are just like right neck and neck. I mean, just a couple hundred votes separating them, which is suspicious in and of itself. But, I mean, it's 222, folks. It's done. It's 222. And then there's a couple seats still up that are just like really a couple hundred votes separate. So, but it's 222. And they're just playing games. They just won't call it. And maybe they just keep counting till it's not 222. So I hope Whatley and the RNC are on top of that. Now, we saw the vote Viagra in Wisconsin. We saw the same story. Trump wins Wisconsin. Hovde winning all day long. The Republican Senate candidate winning all day long. We lay our heads to bed at 4 in the morning or whatever it is, and then we wake up and Baldwin has the victory. Now, I would not be so surprised because Baldwin kind of postured herself as a pro-Trump Democrat. She had the power of incumbency, and I figured there would be a couple seats since Democrats are voting for Trump at the presidential level. They would vote for Democrat senators, and some of these incumbents would hold their seats like Rosen and maybe Baldwin, but it was the vote Viagra. It was the same phenomenon, impossible phenomenon, that we saw in 2020 where a huge ballot dump comes in, 3:30, 4 in the morning, 90, 95, 99% for the Democrats, and it's the perfect number to flip the race. So Hovde's not taking it lying down. He saw it. We all saw it. And he issued this statement. Good for him. Good for him. This makes seat, and this is what we need in the Senate, folks, because cowards and petty politicians like John Thune won't say a damn thing. John Thune and these swampy Senate Republicans are too busy playing politics with one another, playing pocket pool politics with one another. We got to get Thune in there. Pecking order. They're too busy playing pocket pool petty politics with one another that they ignore what happened in Wisconsin, which might have cost them another seat because they don't even give a damn. Eric Hovde needs to be in the Senate because he has the brains and the balls to say what's really going on and to say what's right, while the rest of the coward Republican senators won't say a damn thing. So here's Eric Hovde talking about the vote Viagra for Baldwin that we all saw in clip 4.
Many people have been wondering why I have remained quiet since election night. I believe it's better not to comment until I have the facts. Wisconsin Election Commission is in the final process of finalizing the canvass from last Tuesday's election. Like many of my supporters, I was shocked by what unfolded on election night. At 1 a.m., I was receiving calls of congratulations, and based on the models, it appeared I would win the Senate race. Then at 4 a.m., Milwaukee reported approximately 108,000 absentee ballots, with Senator Baldwin receiving nearly 90% of those ballots. Statistically, this outcome seems improbable, as it didn't match the patterns from same-day voting in Milwaukee, where I received 22% of the votes. Since last Wednesday, numerous parties have reached out to me about voting inconsistencies, such as certain voting precincts in Milwaukee having turnout of over 150% of registered voters, and in some cases, over 200%. Additionally, in 2020, President Biden received 10 million more votes than Vice President Harris did last Tuesday. Yet in Milwaukee, even though the population of Milwaukee has declined and registered voters declined by 26,330 and early voting numbers were down, somehow Harris received only 1,100 less votes than Biden did, which is not consistent with most major cities. This was accomplished by same-day registration that surged by almost 50% on a rainy day. Many people have reached out and urged me to contest the election. While I'm deeply concerned, asking for a recount is a serious decision that requires careful consideration. Further, there are meaningful limits on a recount because they don't look at the integrity of a ballot. What we do know is that Democrats organized and funded a phony America First candidate, Thomas Leger, on the ballot to deceive voters that this candidate was aligned with President Trump in order to siphon votes from me. Because of this deception, Leger received 28,724 votes. Additionally, Democrats propped it up the Libertarian candidate, Phil Anderson, who garnered 42,344 votes through mailers and digital media to again draw votes away from me. If either of these candidates had not been in the race, the outcome would be different today. Is this right and fair to deceive voters? Is this the democratic process we want? Confidence in our elections is essential to a functioning democracy. It is one thing to lie to voters through TV ads like "I'm a Californian" or "I want to ban abortion" or "ban beer." It is another to fund and organize a false candidate to manipulate voters. Another issue that is further undermining our confidence in our election is the failure by Wisconsin and Milwaukee election commissions to clean up our voter rolls. We currently have almost 8 million registered voters.
By the way, pause it real quick. Folks, the Democrats took control of the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, and they blocked the clearing of the voter rolls, and they blocked the banning of mail-in ballots, and then the process of making sure that mail-in ballots weren't fraudulent. Okay? So, just giving a little extra juice to what he's saying there. Let's finish the clip.
With only 3.5 million active voters, their primary role should be ensuring fair and accurate elections, and yet they have fallen short. This lack of action raises obvious questions about their commitment to doing their job. What happened in this election does not inspire confidence in our process. And that is wrong. Throughout my campaign, I've emphasized the need to come together, restore trust in our elections, reduce divisions, and focus on building a better Wisconsin for everyone. Once the final information is available and all options are reviewed, I will announce my decision on how I will proceed. Lastly, I want to thank my voters and everyone I've met over the past 9 months. I couldn't have done it without you. This is a difficult decision because I want to honor your support and at the same time bring closure to this election for our state. Thank you for your time.
So you've had more from Eric Hovde, who quote-unquote lost or had it stolen from him, than anybody else in the Senate. Pathetic. Pathetic. Not a single senator mentioning what we all saw again. Now, members of Trump's cabinet or will be cabinet have mentioned this. I wouldn't even be surprised if Tammy Baldwin came out and made a statement before any Republican senators. Even coming out saying, you know what? We're with Eric Hovde, and if we need to look into election issues to keep faith in our election process, then we'll do it. I wouldn't even be surprised if Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat victor in that Senate race in Wisconsin, said something before any Senate Republicans. That's a shame. But here we are. Here we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen. As we're getting to the end of the first hour here, I do intend to take a lot of phone calls. Let's hope it's not our last day on air, but things right now are just every day we just kind of walk into the fog and we're not sure if the next step is going to land on solid ground or it's the cliff. So I do want to take calls today. And I put out a statement earlier on X inviting you to offer a message to Alex Jones and to the InfoWars team. And I'll be reading a lot of those messages coming up in the second hour as well. We do have some other news and video clips that we can get to, but we've covered the most important stuff so far. So just want to let you know that's coming up. Now, remember, all of your Trump victory gear is available at thealexjonesstore.com. People are really loving the Trump One hat. We have it in bright red, but it also comes in black with the golden eagle. that really just looks nice. The Golden Eagle above Trump one looks nice on the red or on the black. That's a very popular one. And, of course, we have the bright red Trump one shirts, the bright red Trump one hoodies, and so much more. Get all of your Trump victory gear at thealexjonesstore.com, including the back-to-back-to-back Trump victory. Because you know what happened in 2020. All kinds of other cool stuff going on right now. Custom Alex Jones knives, as well as huge Trump victory bundles that include gear and supplements. It's all available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't forget to become a member of the VIP club at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP for even bigger discounts and free shipping on items or orders, rather, above $99. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we're going to start collecting phone calls now, and I'll start reading off some of these messages in the second hour as well, but we'll start getting the phone lines open and people on the board. The number is 877-789-2539. It's on the screen for you now, 877-789-2539. Let's look at some of these other stories. CNN layoffs. Oh, there's going to be layoffs. There's going to be pay cuts. See, CNN, you know, these fake news organizations, they organically go out of business because they're no good. Us, we are really good, but they have to, you know, they have to force us out. CNN staff fear sweeping layoffs by March. CNN to sack hundreds, including top stars, due to dismal election ratings. Yeah, the mainstream media is shot. And I also think the phenomenon is starting to cross a threshold of cable TV viewers or people trying to get news and information or now live election results from network news, cable news, and that's now being switched to internet and streaming services. I mean, people are starting to get savvy with the new ability to stream television, and you don't need the cable networks, you don't need the networks, you don't need your cable subscriptions. You can just pull up an app on your TV and get whatever you want off the internet. You can go right now. I mean, pretty much every new TV, I guess it's all considered a smart TV now, but pretty much any TV now, you can go to your home screen and download an app, whatever app you want. For example, you can go on and get Rumble, and you can pull up InfoWars right now and watch it on your TV and stream it for free. So I think that, I mean, you can stream it for now, but we'll always be there. Alex will be on Rumble. I'll always be on Rumble. They're pro-free speech over there, which is just great. So I'm sure Alex will be on Rumble. I'm on Rumble at rumble.com/Owen. But this is the threshold. So, yeah, you still had people watching cable news and network news. It's still there. But now more than ever in the 2024 election, more people were streaming. More people were on X or on other apps or just looking for news and information on the internet. And the cable networks are basically just petering out. They're losing their audiences. People are switching to different platforms. They've lost the trust. It's just not there. And the ratings show it. And now there's about to be massive layoffs in the, and then some of these top contracts that they have are going to be slashed, if not people going to be fired. I mean, they'll probably have to rework some of these deals. You know, some of their top, quote-unquote, talent, you say that loosely, making $10, $20, $30 million, well, they're not going to get that money. They're either going to be fired or they're going to say, look, we got to renegotiate your contract. We're not paying you this. And it shows you that this system, it shows you that the establishment is not invincible because they have this program where it's all the same groups, right? The same six corporations that control the world or want to control the world. They have all these big agra, big food, big Hollywood, big pharma. They all own everything. And it's basically just like this giant hamster wheel of cash. So they can just you know, anything, anytime you just buy their stuff, they keep their profits up and then they just give it to the mainstream media for ads. And it's just a cycle that never ends. And so they're able to always buy up all the ads and then they're able to control the media. And then the media is able to pay people whatever they want, because they're the network news and they get the unlimited advertising. But it shows you, even the establishment, even the system is not invincible. And even all these companies that have been paying millions, billions of dollars in ads that funds the mainstream news, even they are saying, we're not doing it anymore. CNN staffers deeply frustrated as looming budget cuts and layoffs set to impact struggling network. And this is all really going to hit next spring is what it looks like. And then MSNBC, Comcast, to put MSNBC and Oprah-funded Oxygen Networks up for sale in cable TV sell-off. Oh, my gosh. So, see, all the fake news, all the corrupt news, they organically have failed. We were so successful, they had to come out and synthetically shut us down. But we will never be shut down. We will always be here. All the people at MSNBC and CNN will go to nothing. All right. I'm going to be reading some of these comments from people in support of Alex Jones and InfoWars. I put this up on my X earlier today. What are your messages to Alex Jones and the InfoWars team on this fateful day? And I told people I would read their messages, so I'm going to do that. I want to give a specific shout out, though. At Cat with Two Heads, Cat with Two Heads on X, at CatW2Heads. I guess they run a bar here. I will have InfoWars streaming at the bar all day today. Hats off to you, Alex Jones. Regardless of what happens today, you started a movement that has and will continue to change the course of all history. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for enduring for us all. Now, we've had this happen before. We've got some people that listen that own bars or manage bars or other similar type establishments that will put InfoWars on the televisions. So how can I promote those out there that are putting InfoWars on at their restaurants, at their bars, at their place of business today? Because I want to give you a big shout out. And we really appreciate that. And we salute you for that. So Cat with Two Heads started this trend. I would say that you can just tag me in your post. Sometimes it's harder to find those things because I've got a lot of incoming. Sometimes a hashtag is easier, but that gets a little cluttered as well. So I would say just either tag me. If you're playing InfoWars at your restaurant or your bar or your place of business today, if you're streaming InfoWars live, take a picture of it and tag me. I want to give you a shout out. If you want for your business to give a shout out, we'll do that too. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine, whatever you want. But we want to salute you for putting us on the air in your place of business, whatever it is that you do. So really cool to see us up on the big screen there at, I'm guessing this is probably a bar or a restaurant somewhere where gambling is legal. As you see the slot machines there. So big shout out to Cat with Two Heads. Anybody putting us on in their business today, we appreciate you. Big shout out. If you tag me on X at Owen Schroyer 1776, we will give you a shout out. Just put a picture up there and we'll share it on the screen. But I'm going to come back and read some of these messages on the other side, and then take some phone calls as well. I think we have a star in the making, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got an eye for future talent. We bring a lot of people on this show before anybody else notices them, and then they get really big. So we've got a bit of an eye here. Now, this one is kind of easy to predict, and I think she's got a lot going for her, but that's Kai Trump. And she made her debut, you might say, at the RNC with her great speech. This is the daughter of Don Jr., granddaughter of Donald Trump. And now the media is starting to cover her. I guess this is supposed to be an attack on her. Kai Trump wears $7,000 Rolex with 59 Nordstrom Sikrin dress at grandfather Donald's election victory party. Oh, she wears a $59 Nordstrom sequin dress. Well, good for her. So what? It's like, why would she wear a Rolex and then a cheap dress? How about she can do whatever the hell she wants? I think Kai Trump is a star in the making. I don't really know where she wants to take her life and career, but clearly this is a star in the making. She could be a professional golfer in the next couple years. She might just see her on the LPGA pretty soon. Maybe in the NCAA golf. I don't know, but I think you got a star in the making in Kai Trump. So we're calling that one now. It might be an easy one, but we're calling it now. All right, we've had thousands of replies. What are your messages to Alex Jones and the InfoWars team on this fateful day? I want to read some of these replies and then go to the phone lines here. Caitlin Bennett, the great Caitlin Bennett, she's done some work for us in the past. Caitlin Bennett says, thank you for supporting me when no one else did and for giving me my start in media. I am very grateful for all the opportunities Alex and the team gave me for making my quiet family life possible today. Thank you, Caitlin Bennett, for that. Valentina Gomez, there's one we told you would be huge first. Don't be weak and gay. Stay hard. I'm censoring this, family audience. Y'all better read my comment. I'll be watching. There you go, Valentina. I'm a man of my word. You know that. Brianna Sagdahl, former liberal, by the way. She was slated to be on today. We just preempted all the guests in case we needed to break news or Alex needed to come in here and get the airtime. But big shout out to Brianna, who's been on with us before as well. The Biden administration proved via the implementation of the federal plan for equitable long-term recovery and resilience that Alex Jones has been right all along. While a hostile bidder may win today, it's already too late. Alex won the info war, broke the mainstream media, and awoke a sleeping giant in the process. Thank you, Brianna. And we're working on getting her on again. Again, I preempted all my guests. I had a couple other big guests, too, but I just preempted everybody because I wanted to make sure we had open time slots in case Alex needed to come on here with some breaking news. Zachary Apotheker, the great Border Patrol whistleblower, great friend of the show. Zachary says, oh, and you were one of the first to have me on your platform. No ego, just heard me out for what I had to say and gave me an open invite to update people on my story. I feel as if we grew up around Boston together. You'd be one of my homeboys from the sandbox. May God bless you. Thank you, Zachary. And I'm glad we were able to highlight your important story. How about Allison Steinberg, also friend of the show? Been on the show as well. Huge thank you to the great Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, Harrison Smith, and the entire InfoWars team for not only waking me up, but also giving me a voice in media. InfoWars' unrelenting fight for truth in such a dark and uncertain time gives me hope for our future. God bless. Thank you, guys. We'll continue to read these comments all day long. Much love for the audience and much love from the audience. But, you know, it's funny. Because, yeah, we'll have to regroup again, and we've had to do this before, going through censorship and all kinds of different things here. And whatever the fate may be, we will regroup, and Alex will always have an audience, and I'll always have an audience, and everybody that's a guest and a host here will have an audience. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, Chris Wallace, I think, just quit his latest job. You see, when these network news anchors that really have no talent or power behind them, once they leave the network news, you know, most of them become completely irrelevant. There are a few that can make it on their own. Tucker Carlson, obviously a great example. But I mean, look at Chris Wallace after he left Fox News. They tried to build the CNN app around Chris Wallace's audience, but then they realized that doesn't exist and the app shut down. Bill O'Reilly at one time was the top rated show on cable news. When he was out at Fox News, he tried to start a podcast and do a tour. It basically was reduced to nothingness. So what do you think is going to happen when they're able to shut this place down and Alex has to go somewhere else? we will still have an audience. We will still have support. We will still be able to move the needle. When they kick some of these people off MSNBC and CNN, they'll be done. I wasn't even going to talk about Don Lemon because I don't even want to give him the satisfaction. I happen to know more about this than I probably should. Don Lemon is leaving X. We're shedding a tear. Don Lemon is leaving X. But Don tried to start a career on his own. And he's completely flopped. And basically, be careful here. But basically, his husband is basically being forced to be the breadwinner and, you know, doing everything he can to keep the family lifestyle alive. I'll just leave it at that for now. But that's my point. Don Lemon at one point was the highest rated show on CNN. What is he without the network? Nothing. He's failed. He's flopped. The Don Lemon Show. Give me a break. People watch you to have a good laugh. But it's not that funny. But he's gone from X. Oh, boy. Wow, we'll all suffer. Okay. I am going to start going to some of these phone calls. We'll continue to read the comments at any moment. We may get an update from Alex Jones. We're keeping the studio open for Alex. If anything breaks, if anything happens, he'll come in here and give us an update. So we will maintain our coverage and any updates or any developments or any information as far as InfoWars is concerned. Alex is standing by to bring that information. As of right now, we're going to go to phone calls, more of your comments, and I also have some other news stories to cover as well. But first, one of the great ways to support Alex Jones is with the new limited edition knife. Here's more information.
This is the Outback, the answer to 1984 knife. It is amazing. And again, I want to thank you all for your support. Visit DMOKnives.com today to secure your knife. And I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, back here live in studio, and we're going to start taking some phone calls. By the way, you know those mountains of trash in New York City? Yeah, the Trump effect is already happening. Ban on trash bag mountains goes into effect for vast majority of New York City buildings. That was today. No more rat buffets. What to know about New York City's new trash rules? Now, I've been going to New York City since, like, I think 2002 or 2003. And when I would go there in the early 2000s, it was not like that at all. That was my earliest experience in New York City. But it didn't smell like garbage or sewage. It you didn't have the mountains of trash and the rat problems. And then I was there a couple times in 2016, 17, 18, probably 19, I mean, probably almost every year. And then it was COVID. I think we might have even been there once during the fake pandemic. But then obviously with my federal travel ban put a stop to that. But it was like when I went back more recently, it was literally smelling like garbage. Just reeked of sewage, rats everywhere. I mean, just mountains of trash. I mean, just trash mountains, garbage piles. It's like, how in the world? So we're getting that taken care of. So good for you guys in New York City. All right. Let's see here. Yo, hey, how about this? Let's go to an old friend. Badass Uncle Sam, and you know, he's got a channel at band.video. Badass Uncle Sam calls into the show. Guys, pull his channel up. Go ahead, Badass Uncle Sam.
I got three words for you guys. Fight, fight, fight.
Right on, man.
Love you, brothers, man, I tell you. There's not a day I'm out on the streets now that I don't have people coming up to me and going, you know, I watch your videos on InfoWars.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I first went out, you know, it's been out there since July 4th, 2012. And when I first went out, people would see the InfoWars on my buggy and whatnot and go, oh, that place, conspiracy theory, that guy's a nutcase. Now it's just flipped. You guys have changed the world.
So let's talk about that real quick. So for people that don't understand, if you're not familiar, our friend here, Badass Uncle Sam, will go to the streets dressed in all kinds of different patriotic garb. He has a little booth, a little stand out there downtown New Orleans, like right around the French Quarter, right around all the street traffic, the tourists, everything. And, you know, sometimes he has props and everything, but very patriotic setup there. And he's had a lot of crazy interactions over the years, you know, obviously ranging from just the craziest of the bad and then the very best of the good. And so, but just as a barometer, because that's what you're talking about here, and he actually looks like Uncle Sam, which is why it's so funny. It's Badass Uncle Sam. He's like a carbon copy of the Uncle Sam marketing image. But you're talking about what it was like when you first started, but maybe more specifically, let's talk 2016 to 2024. Let's do that. Tell me what it was like 2016 with the pro-America, pro-Trump stuff you had on the streets to what it's like today in 2024.
Yeah. The energy level in 16, I mean, back then, we weren't the accountability then. Lock her up was not a campaign slogan. That was a big thing. People wanted accountability. They wanted to see someone locked up. We were tired of it then. And so it was kind of a disappointment when Trump got in. It didn't lock him up. But, you know, that all got papered over because the economy started the war. People were doing well. And even in this liberal cesspool of a city, come 2020, there were four Trump truck parades that I saw go my run here. And, of course, I didn't see anything from Biden. So, there was a lot of Trump support and a lot more energy in it because the economy was pumping. But when it was stolen, man, it kind of took the wind out of everybody's sails. And now it's back to everybody wants accountability again. That's why seeing, you know, Trump coming out saying this time, and then seeing Gates get in here, who's obviously a lion. And now the people are the same thing. It's all about let's go back to 2020. Let's have that accountability there. Because the big thing I heard this past weekend after the election when I was out there, just every person that came up to me, we were talking, of course, about the election. Everybody was upbeat. It was like a weight was lifted off of them. So everybody was upbeat. I only got like one Trump derangement syndrome couple that just went ballistic on me.
Just one? Because, I mean, you have to have thousands of interactions a day. I mean, you sit at a highly trafficked intersection.
I do, but, you know, it's funny. I mean, it was at the beginning of the day, and there was a couple in their 40s all tattooed up. And they were reading one of the plaques for the park there. And I saw a hotel key on the ground. So I picked it up and I went to approach him and said, excuse me, but is this yours? Before I could get the sentence out, they just turned to me. Get away from me, you disgusting. I mean, just ranting profanities, you Trump, blah, blah, blah. And I says, man, I just want to ask you if this is your key. You know, just what is wrong with you people? Other than that, there were a couple of other leftists that are pretty. They come by pretty regularly, and we, you know, jokingly will go back and forth. And this time they came by, and it was just they took it well. I thought they took it well. I would point at them, and I bust out laughing, and they kind of like shook their heads. So I was really surprised I didn't get more pushback or more, you know, more Trump derangement syndrome maniacs out there. There was mostly people coming up and just going, you know, fist bumping, we did it, all this kind of thing. So it was like a weight was lifted off. So the people were really, really positive out there. And one thing I want to point out that was the fact that almost everybody I speak to now, because, you know, when I first started this, I mean, you bring up something that was off the wall, like, you know, climate change, the weather weapons, where 9/11 was an inside job. It would, you know, people would go, yeah, I don't know. Now, I swear, every time I come out, people are walking up to me. I might as well be talking to Alex Jones out there on the street right now. people are bringing up things before I bring them up. And one of the things I'm bringing up big time this past weekend was before I can even mention it. They would be talking about the, you know, the 12 or 18, whatever, how many millions of votes had disappeared from the last election.
Yeah, and that's Democrats that are talking about that now, you know, 4 years after us, but they're on it now.
Yeah, but they're trying to make it sound like it was Elon Musk that stole them through Starlink. So they're like, no. This is. If there's any good reason to go ahead and look at the 2020 election, it's like, where the hell those 18 million votes go? Where do they come from? Where do they go?
Yeah, that's the big anomaly, is the vote steroids for Biden. Well, you know, should the fate of band.video be determined and it shut down, I imagine you're not going to stop. Can people follow you? Do you have a Rumble channel or a backup somewhere?
Rumble, but I also do 10 hours of live streaming on Patriot Soapbox every week. So you can follow me there. I do the morning show, which is button up against Harrison there.
Is BadassUncleSam.com the best place?
Yeah, Badass Uncle Sam is where you can go and you can get my information there. But on Rumble, I'm a Badass Uncle Sam on Rumble. And, you know, if you find yourself in some free time for whatever happens with InfoWars, hopefully you'll be busier than ever. But, you know, you're going to get an invite to come on my Patriot Soapbox show.
Well, I appreciate that. You're a great American. You've always been a good friend to me, and you've been a great info warrior as well. So glad you got in today. That's Badass Uncle Sam down in Louisiana. Check him out, badassunclesam.com. I mean, this guy literally stands on the streets of New Orleans dressed as Uncle Sam and just takes the love and the hate as well as anybody you can imagine. Great to hear from you. Let's squeeze in another call. Let's go to Bregan in Wisconsin. He's been listening for decades. He's been listening to InfoWars for decades, he says. Bregan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Owen. Thank you for what you do. I can't believe that Badass Uncle Sam was the first call, because I watch him pretty much every day if I'm not watching Harrison, and he'll know who I am in the chat room. But anyway, he's a great guy, and he is fully in line with InfoWars mentality. So that's cool. What I wanted to say was, since the mid-2000s, I think it was when Loose Change came out, that's when I really switched over. And I have filmed for InfoWars. I have written articles for InfoWars. I have a payment system that's set up through InfoWars just for the InfoWars store, or used to be, what will not be, but whatever. And where Michelle, number one in the business office, set me up with, okay, here's $1,000. Okay, let me just debit it. Okay, over time, right? So I've got more T-shirts and stickers, and I got to say, the Alexa Pure Pro water filters, even though I live in the cleanest water in the state of Wisconsin area, we still love our Alexa Pure. I also have a bunch of product ideas. I'm a marketer, and I had a restaurant of 22.5 years. I put up InfoWars articles plastered to the men's room bathroom walls, which sometimes got sliced off, but okay, that's beside the point. But from everything from the raw milk, freedom trials, basically, for Amish people getting persecuted for eating raw food, raw milk, to buying rounds of shots for Alex's table in Chantilly, Virginia, at Bilderberg 2012, and all of the people that Alex has basically personally introduced me to, journalists and whatnot, over the years. Can't thank him enough. Got a bunch of product ideas for him if he wants them, but that has to be off air. And I just wanted to say that I had to go under nom de plume back when I was writing articles, and it's great to see Rob do the do, and Darren McBreen, fellow Irishman, still there, and the crew, your crew, those crew shots that you have in the background are awesome.
Love the crew. It's a great crew. It's the best crew, okay? Worked with a lot of crews. This one's the best. Don't forget about the lost Alex Jones tapes available right now at thealexjonesshow.com. That's right, the lost Alex Jones tapes. Go deep into the archives of the Alex Jones Show with the lost Alex Jones tapes available now at thealexjonesshow.com. A couple other messages here that we have from friends of the show. Chrissy Mayer, she once was a fill-in host. Things got a little out of control. I never brought her back. But we do love Chrissy. I wouldn't be where I am today without InfoWars. You always let me come on and promote my Texas shows whenever I was in town. One of my favorite memories was the day y'all let me host for Owen, and it was 3 hours of hijinks. I think that was the last time she hosted for me, guys. Whatever the future holds for the network, know that they cannot take away the spirit inside each of you that made InfoWars special. Every one of you will land on your feet. You're too talented not to. You are the boldest, bravest group of journalists and crew out there. Thank you, Chrissy Mayer, good friend of the show. Former host, reporter here, Savannah Hernandez says, InfoWars has always been at the forefront of platforming creators and independent journalists before anyone else. When we were censored, silenced, or looked down upon, Alex and Owen gave us a platform and have always been champions of free speech. Many of us wouldn't be here today without InfoWars, myself included, and the spirit of Alex and InfoWars will forever live through all of us. Much love to one of the hardest working crews in America. Thank you, Savannah. Luke Rudkowski, also another former InfoWars employee. Don't let them turn the frogs gay. All right, Luke, we'll try our best. Maybe RFK Jr. can help with that. Elijah Schaefer. InfoWars was the first major platform that propelled my career. When I had no following, Alex gave me a voice on his own show and helped catapult my life forward alongside Gavin McGinnis. Then, Owen, you came and invited me on your show regularly to roast Antifa, and the rest is history. Thank you, Elijah. Good to hear from you. National File. The great people over there. InfoWars was leading the way on doing away with the secret ballot. Meanwhile, the phonies were busy clamoring for Rick Scott instead of asking for an open ballot vote. Not even Rick Scott demanded an open ballot. Well, I guess that's more of a report there than a shout-out. But our friends at National File have been on with us many times as well. All right. Meanwhile, we'll bring in, we had some people submit their businesses that they run or work at that like to play InfoWars while they're doing business, whether it's a bar or a cleaning service or a barber shop or a firehouse. We love everybody tuning in to our shows and playing our shows for everyone to hear. We appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Jeff in Maryland. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, and it's a pleasure speaking with you again.
Thanks for calling.
I'm just calling and making it simple. You've done a lot for everybody, and I know personally you've helped me save a lot of people's lives due to the information that you've given me from all the doctors and well-rounded researchers that you've had on your show. So thank you. And also, we've passed on a lot of information and brought people to your shows. For instance, Peggy from Illinois, just like to say what's up. So, you know, thank you for everything that you all have done.
Well, thank you for tuning in and sharing all these years. And, you know, whatever the fate here may be, we're going to continue to broadcast. We'll continue to have a presence. You know, they're going to obviously try to take this mothership of independent broadcasting and information down. But we will survive at least individually. And again, you know, I'm not going to shut up. Obviously, Alex isn't going to shut up. You know, we're still on X thanks to the freedom of speech that Elon Musk has returned there, and on Rumble as well. I know Harrison has a Rumble channel and does live streams. You can always find me at rumble.com/Owen at Owen Schroyer 1776. So whatever the fate here is, we will continue on, and we'll have to reshuffle and rebuild, but we've done it before, and you've been there with us the whole way. All right, let's go to Ben in Virginia. Ben, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Owen, I want to let you know how proud you should be of yourself and your entire crew. You guys are phenomenal. Everything you've done has been phenomenal, and I just want to let you know, deep down from my heart, you personally changed my entire thought process on the Republican Party. You were the wake-up call that I had, and you know what? You're the reason why I found InfoWars, and the entire reason why I watch every single channel on there today. When you had the videos of you going around in those the feminist rallies, and then the people were blowing the bullhorns at you, you are the reason why I am not what I would consider a rhino Republican, and I want to thank you so much for that. I don't even know like where to begin with you guys. I mean, everything you've done, the stuff you guys sell, everything is literally amazing, and I wouldn't be, you know, you've saved literally just through me probably 10 people from being completely brainwashed. Just letting you know, like, it's, I can't thank you guys enough. And I mean, I hope that everything works out in your guys' favor. And, you know, maybe if MSNBC goes up for sale, it'd be pretty funny if you guys were able to get on that. That'd be pretty funny. But
that would be, you know, that would be a twist of fate, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be, I couldn't even imagine seeing Alex Jones doing the Good Morning Show there. That would be amazing.
That'd be something.
But I really do truthfully want to tell you guys, I mean, I cannot thank you enough. I'd probably be happy about whatever secret vote happened today, you know, it hadn't have been for you, because I started watching you when you were doing those little the on-the-street videos, but then you brought me in and reeled me into InfoWars, because I was like, what is that? Because you had it on the microphone. I'm like, huh. So then I go and I watch you, and then I'm like, oh, my God, it's Alex Jones with all these other people. This is so cool. So it's been a tradition in my household every single night at 4 o'clock, because I'm in Virginia. So at 4 o'clock, I put on your show, and we watch it all the way through till 7. When you say that is the fastest 3 hours in internet history, you are not lying. And when you guys say that you are tomorrow's news, next week's news, next month's news today, it's not a joke. Like, my mom couldn't even believe it, because I'm telling her about stuff that is happening literally 2 weeks before even the mainstream news catches on to any of this stuff. And I just want to say, like, that is amazing. Truthfully, you guys are the tip of the spear. Literally, everything you guys say is completely true. And it's, I can't even, you know, there's nothing else I can give you other than that.
Appreciate those words. It means a lot. And, you know, it means a lot when you share the broadcasts. It means a lot when you help us, you know, spread this information and grow our audience. You know, we may be in a position where we'll need that effort again, but it's all in God's hands. And, you know, maybe we'll know the fate soon. Maybe it might be another week or two. I don't know. But, you know, the audience is so important here. And, you know, just in case we are in the final hours, I wanted to at least give the audience one last chance to voice their opinion to the InfoWars world and to the world at large, our international audience. Yeah, I could come on here and read 3 hours of news like we normally do and have a video list of 30 clips. And but, you know, the time right now is to just hear from the InfoWars audience. This audience is so important. It's such a major part of what we've done here and our ability to grow and reach the masses. And so you're an integral part. And, you know, that's, you know, the same reason why they try to separate you from Donald Trump. Same reason why they try to separate you from voting and supporting Donald Trump with all the attacks on him. It's the same thing they try to do here. But you've stuck with us, and you'll stick with us whatever the next level of this info war is. So thank you for that, Ben. Let's go to Robert in Florida. Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Yes, you can.
Yep, go ahead.
I've got to go old school for you guys, which isn't even old school for the real gangsters. 14 years ago, I'm up in Dallas. I have my son. My wife and daughter want to go to some boy band thing. I meet Ted Cruz. I go to the bar. My wife is sitting there. I'm thinking Ted Cruz hitting on my wife. I didn't realize I was in a stump rally. and I went off on him. Paul, his dad, comes over and starts talking to me, and I realized all that. I'm going through something here because my favorite ever thing is all the things. The Pierce Morgan rallies that I was at, everything. But it was when you were interviewing in Cedar Park, and my son come just walking in the group when the LGBTQ WTF are starting to get aggressive. He just walks in there, and then you interviewed him. And then there was that frog out there. And I'm not kidding this one. He goes, is that Alex Jones that's in an interview? I think it was either Rob Dew that was there, or I don't even know. But over the years, man, guys.
Are you talking about when we were outside of that school when they were trying to do the drag queen story time thing that we got canceled and they canceled the drag queens?
No, they went to the library. I was there that day.
No, they canceled the drag queens. That's why they were outside. They still did the event, but they didn't let the drag queens in. They still did, I don't remember what it was. I think they still read the books to the kids, but the drag queens weren't allowed in, or at least the ones maybe that had a criminal history. But no, that's why they were outside, is because we raised enough of a hell to keep them from letting the perverted drag queens inside.
Yeah, but they went back into the library. This is after you guys had left. That was my last time.
I wonder that footage. I think it was Rob Dew. I don't remember. I have to go back. And I don't necessarily remember your son. There were a lot of good people out there that day. The one thing I remember about that day, you're talking about the school up north, right? That's what you're talking about?
I'm talking about at the library in Cedar Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember I'm sitting there. Well, I'm standing there, and the drag queen's name was, I think it was Ms. Kitty Litter, which, of course, is a sexual innuendo, figure it out for yourself, and was going to read to kids, but was sitting outside. And I remember I was trying to talk to the Ms. Kitty Litter, and there were a bunch of these activists or whatever, liberals, that were, like, blocking me. And I was trying to go in and talk to her. And at one point, like, they literally were trying to surround me and started humping me. And that's when I kind of lost my cool, which I don't normally do. But I lost my cool at that point and, you know, decided to create a little space for myself. I think that was Rob Dew shooting that day. I don't know. We'll probably find the footage. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really go out in the streets right now for multiple reasons. Because of the situation here, we can't really afford security. B, I mean, I can't even go out without getting assaulted. I don't think I've gone out on the streets without getting assaulted, like, in, like, last 10 trips. C, because of my probation, it's just not a good idea for me to put myself in a compromising situation. Part of me kind of misses it, but another part of me is like, yeah, you know, dealing with these freaks. I mean, I've been spit on multiple times. We went out with Harrison Smith in New York City. Speaking of New York City, another viral video. And Harrison, I believe this might have been his first road trip, I think. First or second road trip. I think his first was in Virginia, and then it was New York City. And we're in New York City, and Harrison Smith is shooting video of me. I believe it was at the Women's March, I believe, some anti-Trump deal. And we're going down the street. And this guy just starts hawking loogies, multiple loogies. This guy was deranged, probably, you know, drugged up. Totally viral at the time, millions of views. And poor Harrison, because he's sitting there filming. So first the guy tries to spit on me, and then he looks into the camera and talks a bunch of stuff, and then does a double hawk onto the camera. One hits Harrison in the face. The other one hits his hand in the camera. Yeah, look, there it is right there. The crew got it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So it's like, yeah, part of it's like, yeah, it's fun, and we get these viral videos and, you know, embarrass the libtards. But then it's like they also spit on you and assault you and hump you, and it's that's what they do. Robert, thanks for that trip down memory lane. Let's go to Daniel in Kansas. Daniel, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Daniel Keith Austin. Johnson County is my Kansas county. My sheriff, Calvin Hayden, had been investigating voter fraud since August 2022. My friends and I had been helping him with this year's reelection, but a rhino and a Democrat challenged him in this year's primary. And unfortunately, he lost to the rhino. And this past election, that rhino just lost to the Democrat. And now crime is very likely to go up because that Democrat was chief of police in one of our cities, and violent crime had risen 8% under that city, under his watch. So I would love to come on the show and talk about Sheriff Hayden and his investigation. I also have a children's book series going called Chelsea the Golden Retriever. I have a fundraiser going on my author's website, danielkeithaustin.com, to help publish a second book. And I would like to talk with you and Alex Jones more about that, as well as my vaccine injury story, whether it be on InfoWars or Alex Jones Network. I am one of four vaccine injured siblings. And if we are able to work this out, I have some ideas on how I could help you as a sponsor.
Yeah, I believe we're actually in touch on X. I mean, you're on air right now, so you don't need to say, hey, I want to talk. I mean, you're literally talking to me right now. But obviously, as I said, I'm just preempting guests right now. I had to preempt a couple big interviews just because we're keeping the airwaves open from having commitments with guests. So in case there's any big news or developments that Alex needs to come in here and take over and make announcements, that we just have it open without any guests restraining that time. So yes, I believe I've talked to you through X, and I am definitely interested in hearing your story. But I mean, you're on right now, so if there's anything else you want to say.
Yeah, sure. So, my, first book right now is out. It's called Chelsea's New Beginning. It's about a golden retriever puppy who, is given up to an animal shelter, and she's adopted again by the end of the story.
What about the vaccine? You said you and all your siblings are vaccine injured?
I am one of four vaccine injured siblings, and my mom had two more. She did not vaccinate them. They are both completely healthy and normal. I am going to.
So you're not even talking COVID vaccine. You're talking about just the vaccine schedule.
Childhood vaccines, yes. My older sister was born in 1986, and I'm sure you're well aware that was when they passed the Vaccine Injury Protection Act for children. I think I'm getting that name. Not sure if I'm getting that name right, but that's when they took away liability for vaccine manufacturers. And my two brothers, Joshua and Jeremy, were born in 1990 and 1991, the years where the vaccine schedule had to double and triple. Joshua lost speech and then regained it. Jeremy also lost speech, but he never regained his.
I wouldn't be surprised if RFK Jr. gets in there and removes that vaccine liability protection. I would imagine that's probably on his list of things to do. And if it's not, I know for a fact that there are people that he's working with and in touch with that will certainly make him aware of that. So I think that's something that might not last another 4 years. Daniel, thanks for the call. I know we're in touch on X, so let's we can communicate there and set something up for the future. Let's go to Chandra in Minnesota. Chandra, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Owen. You know, I was just really calling tonight to thank you for your contribution to just giving the listeners the truth. You know, how things really go on, and sad to, you know, it's come to this for InfoWars. And, you know, I've been listening since about 8:30 this morning to everybody's broadcast because I wanted to make sure I was, you know, able to share that and listen on. But I just want to say I've almost picked up the phone to call your show so many times just being in Minneapolis. And I just, like, never had, I don't know, the courage to do it until tonight. So I know you said you got the lines open for people to make comments. I just wanted to participate and say thank you again, and that we'll miss you. I'll be following you guys on X, all of you guys, and hopefully something gets resolved and you guys can push forward, and, you know, we won't have too much of a pause in between our breaking news.
Well, again, we'll have to regroup and we'll have to recover from them taking down this mothership of information, should that be the case. But obviously, Alex has talked about, you know, he's not going to stop broadcasting. Whatever his plans are for the future, he'll keep you updated. I mean, again, whatever the fate here is, I'm going to continue to broadcast. I'm going to plan to continue to stay in this time slot, whatever the case is for the future. But as long as these lights are on, these cameras are on, this microphone is on, this crew is here, and we still have this just incredible mothership of information and news broadcasting, we're going to be here. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the future, but you might as well make that call. I mean, it could be your last time to call in. So if there's any other listeners out there that are thinking they just never decided to pick up the phone and call, well, it might be your last chance. So, Chandra, I'm glad you decided to finally make that call today. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks. And like I said, I wanted to call you so bad when, you know, you had kind of a curiosity about how people felt about Walt. And not that any of that really matters right now, but...
Well, like, he's still your governor.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you see, I just putting tampons in the boys' room? And this guy is just a freak.
Listen, and it really was shocking, and I was kind of taken aback when, you know, he made the VP pick, because it was like so many people, especially in Minneapolis, were like, you know, oh, yeah, that's like, let's go for him. And I'm like, what? Do you guys not remember when he was like, had us all locked down, like, during COVID, and everybody in Minneapolis?
Yeah, he was one of the worst. Like, I mean, he was sending law enforcement around with paintball guns shooting you on your own porch.
Yeah, and I came from service industry background. I unfortunately haven't returned to bartending since, but I did go on to make two COVID babies, and, you know, that's a better trade-off. But just to say, like, yeah, he was very strict, and, like, he was trying to, you know, get people to go get vaccines, offering the gift cards, and, you know, offering people to go to the breweries and get their free beer.
Man, yeah, how sick was that? I mean, you know, we tend to move on, and it's the nature of the news business. I mean, you do just move on. Some, you know, just topic-oriented people can stick on things like that. But, I mean, yeah, remember the sick de Blasio? You mean I get fries and a cheeseburger? And he's, like, eating it. Oh, my gosh, if I take the experimental and I get a cheeseburger? It's like a $5. Oh, my God. Oh. And they had the lotteries with the vaccine lotteries. I mean, it was sick what they did. I mean, there needs to be accountability. And, you know, maybe with Musk and Ramaswamy and RFK Jr., maybe there will be accountability. Chandra, I'm glad you got in today. Oh, I mean, I get fries? Oh, you mean I get a cheeseburger? Oh, my God. What a sick freak. These COVID tyrants were, I mean, that is just sick. Seriously, that is just, do we have audio for this freak? It's like, it's hard to even put into words how American psycho sick freak this is. Like, it's so dystopian. Go get your experimental shot and you can get a cheeseburger. Like, oh yeah, you're like a lab rat. It's like, oh, we'll reward you with a Scooby snack. Like, oh, I just got my shot. You mean I get a cheeseburger? You mean I get French fries? Like, oh my gosh. It's like $5. It's like, yeah, you're so poor, you're so hungry, you're so pathetic that you're going to jump to take an experimental injection because you're going to get a free burger and fries. Says the demented mayor of New York City, who is no more, by the way. You know, it's sad that these leftist liberal teachers, these progressive teachers are really, they really are a danger. They really are a threat to your children and your education of them, because they're completely radicalized and they put their politics first. And we've seen a lot of these videos now post-election of Donald Trump where they're having these psychotic breaks in the classrooms and they're sending messages to their children in the students as well. They're publicly doing it. Sometimes they're getting caught behind the scenes. That's what happened to this teacher in California.
Let me tell you, I know a lot of Latino men on this campus. adults and students that love Donald Trump. And he's called their mothers rapists. He's called their fathers rapists.
Now at 5:30, an Inland Empire teacher's profanity-laced anti-Trump tirade is going viral at this hour, and it came the day after Trump became the president-elect. Good evening. This is the KTLA 5 News at 5:30. I'm Cher Calvin.
And I'm Micah Ullman. The Moreno Valley Unified School District has put the high school teacher on leave while it investigates the recording.
Now, some students are objecting to the district's action and are now protesting in support of the teacher. KTLA's Shelby Nelson joins us live from Moreno Valley with the controversy. Shelby.
Sure, Micah. And tonight we're actually talking about two incidents, one here in Moreno Valley, another in at the Chino Valley High School. Now, critics believe that these teachers went way too far and had no place in lecturing their students about their political beliefs, not to mention the way in which they did it. Some are even calling for them to be fired. But
should
on the other hand, there are supporters who say, yes, maybe it was wrong. It should have been toned down, but it's not enough to fire them.
A rapist, draft-dodging coward, treasonous scum. Why would he win? Why would he win? Why did he win?
A teacher's post-election Trump rant going viral. This audio recording is from a teacher at Valley View High School in Moreno Valley.
But has Donald Trump quoted Hitler? Yes. Does he embody some of Hitler's ideas? Yes.
The recording now with millions of listens.
Let me tell you, I know a lot of Latino men on this campus, adults and students, that love Donald Trump. And he's called their mothers rapists. He's called their fathers rapists. He's called them criminals. He called them the poison in the blood of our country.
He could have definitely worded it a different way. He could have made it like family friendly, like no swear words. He could have got his point across.
Jude Vasquez has the teacher's second period class. He and several students walked out of school today.
Bring him back! Bring him back!
In protest, calling on the Moreno Valley Unified School District to bring the AP World History teacher back after he was placed on administrative leave.
They tried silencing us, but they will not silence us today!
Yeah!
In a statement, the district told KTLA in part, we were recently made aware of an incident at one of our high schools in which a staff member's discussion about the election results turned unprofessional. We do not condone the behavior that occurred, and an immediate investigation has been launched.
So here's the understanding, and we've been warning about it right here on this show for years. And you can sit here and have a debate about the appropriateness or the time and place even for a teacher to get politics involved. I would say it's probably never. I mean, there might be a time and place, maybe in a history class or political science or something. But obviously, I mean, there is. That's wholly inappropriate. But this is the real story that you have to understand. These radical leftists, these modern-day liberal progressive Democrats are radical leftist activists before anything else. And so that radical leftist agenda and attitude is going to overwhelm whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a judge, you name it. That's what's happening here. Everything else is secondary. Radical leftist activist is always their number one priority. Everything else is secondary to these people. That's why the teacher did that. All right, we will continue to take your calls, read some of your comments. Remember, you can always support Alex at thealexjonesstore.com. All kinds of great products there, including getting your Trump victory gear. I want to give a shout-out here. We said any businesses that are playing the InfoWars broadcasts today that we would give you a shout-out. Bob Bickerstaff. He says, Clogbusters Drain Cleaning in Massachusetts plays InfoWars on the radio all day at the job site. Thank you, Clogbusters Drain Cleaning in Massachusetts. Glad we could help you get through the workday. B-Dub/Bert. Plays InfoWars at Engine House Number 1, Truck Number 4 in St. Louis. Let's give a big shout-out to Engine House Number 1. I happen to hear there's a couple InfoWars fans, a couple of War Room listeners over there at Engine House 1. Used to hang out around there. Big ups to you guys. In fact, when I was telling the story about the homeless no-legged woman, a couple people shouted me out that said she used to come by Engine House Number 1 all the time. So a big ups to you guys. New method cleaners severance in Colorado. Plays InfoWars in their office every day. Big shout out to you guys. Thank you. Nice, big, beautiful American flag there in the office as well from Ray Tavoya. Thank you very much. Blessed by Kelly's, Michelle K. Shout out to InfoWars here at Blessed by Kelly's 24-hour barber salon. We love and appreciate the info you provide. The 24-hour barber salon, Blessed by Kelly's, has InfoWars on. Thank you. Big shout out to you. Thank you for tuning us up today at the barbershop. All right. Squeezing in another phone call or two. We'll have more comments on X and then a couple other news reports and clips as well. Let's go to Matt in New Jersey. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. I'd like to thank you guys for all you did. I started watching InfoWars right around the time you came on, maybe a little bit before. I remember you hosting the fourth hour and the startup with the War Room with Roger Stone. I've been with you guys for a while now, and, man, let me tell you, I've been inviting you into my living room for the past 9 years, and it's going to be hard to leave you guys. You know, it's going to be a big change with you guys not being here. But the funny thing is I really think that they're going to shut. It's not funny, but I really think they're going to shut you guys down because they haven't had a victory anywhere. They can't get rid of Trump. They can't do it. Anything they try, it fails. They're going to hang a trophy somewhere. And unfortunately, I believe that InfoWars is going to be the trophy. But what they don't realize is that you guys are going to pop up somewhere even bigger. So,
well, it is like trophy hunting for these people. You know, they just want to mount that InfoWars head on the wall and force us to regroup and you know, regather and restructure everything, reorganize everything, because there's a lot of work in that. I mean, yeah, Alex will continue to be on air, and I will, and Harrison, and, you know, there will be a future for us, but the reorganization, the restructuring, the reformation of whatever it is that we end up doing, that takes a lot of effort. I mean, what Alex has built here in 30 years, what Alex has built here, it took 30 years. And it's an amazing body of work, and it's an amazing accomplishment, and it really is a mothership and the mothership of independent news and broadcasting and information. And so it in a way, it's trophy hunting, but then it's also punishment. It's punishing Alex Jones for telling the truth and never giving up. It's punishing the people that would dare work for him and support him. And so that's the process. But he's made it perfectly clear that they can't stop him from broadcasting, and they won't stop him from broadcasting. They'll have to rip his larynx out to stop him from talking, and then he'll find a way probably to be like Darth Vader or something and speak through a voice box. So, again, if there's any updates on that situation, we'll let you know. But appreciate you putting us in your house every day, Matt. And we'll continue to be on air. You know, people will have to find us. We've let you know where we're at, but we'll continue what we do here, whatever that looks like in the future.
All right. Thank you, Owen. God bless you.
Appreciate you. Let's go to Z in New Mexico. Z, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen, first-time caller. You hear me?
Got you loud and clear.
Awesome. So I discovered you guys a couple years ago. It was after Candace was fired from Daily Wire, and I was looking for a new place to get some news, and I saw you on Timcast right before you went to prison. So that's, you know, been watching you guys since then and pretty much every day. So I'm glad to, you know, be able to listen to you guys and share information with not just my family, but with friends. Thank you guys very much for that.
Appreciate that. And I mean, obviously we're an upgrade from Daily Wire. I mean, you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to touch on what you discussed on Monday. I think it was a gentleman from veteran from South Dakota. You guys were talking about New Mexico and the elections down here. You're like, why the heck is it blue, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, there's a lot of information. I'm going to try to make it concise, but there's been a lot of population growth in New Mexico over the last 10 years, give or take. You have a lot of Californians coming in for the new Netflix headquarters that's here, a lot of actors, you know, Hollywood types that are coming in and living in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and whatnot. And additionally, I looked into it a little bit more, and just as of 2022, the immigrants that make up New Mexico's population is about 192,000 people. It's about 9% of our population. So when we look at the vote, like the this election and stuff, and you're looking at the margins that we lost by, it is just ridiculous, man. I mean, Kamala Harris won the state by a margin of 53,000 votes, and Senator Heinrich secured his third term by 89,000 vote margin. All the three seats in the House of Representatives were won by margins of under 50,000 votes. And I'm talking to, you know, I don't know a lot of these Hollywood types, of course. I just live out in the country. But I go to the cities a lot, whether it's Española, Santa Fe, or Albuquerque. And I'm seeing people with plate covers saying Trump 2024. There was a guy down in Santa Fe that had a shirt that said Tampon Tim and Cackling Kamala on it. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, man. Like, I mean, I go to cast my ballot on election day, and they print out my ballot. I fill it out, and when I pop it in the machine, it doesn't even tell me who I vote for. It just gives me a little ding and says that it cast my ballot. I don't get to see who I actually cast my vote for. It's just insane, man.
Well, those margins are kind of big because, the population in New Mexico isn't, it's one of the smaller populations. I mean, you didn't say that you think there's voter fraud or election fraud, but, I mean, it sounds like you're insinuating that.
There's got to be something going on. I understand that there's a lot of blind voters, people who just vote blue because that's what they've done, for generations. That's what my parents had done. I was the one to, wake them up thanks to you guys and the footage that what you guys have covered to get everybody, to be voting red, down ballot. And I don't know. There's got to be something going on here. I think it's just something that we need to shed more light on this matter in New Mexico. Because,
well, I'll say this, New Mexico kind of gets lost in translation of a presidential election because I think it's only three electoral college votes. I believe it's three. And so they just don't put much time, effort, or money into New Mexico. I think what I'm seeing, what we saw, and I think it's a burgeoning thing in the Republican Party, and Scott Presler is kind of like the new example of ground game strategy and execution and commitment. But I think what you're going to see now with kind of the ad element of Elon Musk, you're going to see this kind of new hybrid strategy of ground game execution and commitment really targeted so that we can start to flip seats, start to flip states. And then you're going to have real PAC money that's not going to establishment causes or party politics, but like Elon Musk's America PAC that's looking at these local issues and looking more strategically of where money can be spent that'll actually be effective. And, maybe someday that reaches New Mexico. I'm going to guess 2016, definitely 2018, there will be dozens of Scott Presslers. There will be others who say, okay, this is the strategy. He'll train them up, and then they'll be in New Jersey. They'll be in Wisconsin. They'll be in New Hampshire. Maybe New Mexico. But I definitely see that on the horizon. Because the problem is, it's like, it's the same reason why Bill de Blasio sits here eating a cheeseburger, says take the vaccine, because, we like to be rewarded. And when you see somebody do something and have success and have a victory, then other people want to do it. But it's like, you have to see it. Like, it has to be like, you have to see it. You have to know it's real. And then you have to see the spoils and the victory. And so now that you see it, people are going to say, oh, it worked. Oh, okay, so this is what you do. So I think you're going to see this increase in 2026 and then definitely 2028. Maybe it makes it down to New Mexico. I don't know. But, Z, thank you for weighing in today. Thank you for calling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, one of the latest, greatest products at thealexjonesstore.com is HydroForce. Here's more about it.
own WAP. You know what I'm saying? A lot of you bitches got the dab dry ass pussy because y'all pH balance is off. God. You want to know why? It's not because you're born with it. It's because y'all keep these dirty ass niggas. And y'all bitches is shy to tell these niggas that they dick is hot. You got to tell babe, yo, your dick is more like mustard.
All right, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I got to, guys, I got to pull out of this. No pun intended. I didn't know that was the new ad. That's more than just an ad. Let me repitch this. Let's go to Democrat Party spokeswoman and Kamala Harris endorsing liberal activist Cardi B.
To keep y'all pussy on WAP, you know what I'm saying? A lot of you bitches got the dab dry ass pussy. Because y'all pH balance is off. And you want to know why? It's not because you're born with it. It's because y'all keep these dirty ass niggas. And y'all bitches is shy to tell these niggas that they dick is hot. You got to tell babe, yo, your dick is more like mustard, my nigga. You want to throw my pH balance off.
I want to tell Cardi B something. You need HydroForce with all of the highest quality electrolytes and vitamins and minerals that will keep your big fat juicy and clean. And a lot of those women, you know, out there that have this issue that she's talking about, need HydroForce because it's a really good quality, but everybody else needs it as well.
Wow. That is, we play the family-friendly censored version here. I believe the uncensored version is at Real Alex Jones on X, and, good Lord. Okay, well, HydroForce. Get some at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to give a couple more shout-outs here. Messages from our friends and followers responding to my message at Owen Schroyer 1776 on X. From Fafo Farms, God is preparing you guys through adversity for amazing things. This is only the beginning. God bless and Godspeed for all InfoWars crew future endeavors. Thank you, Fafo Farms. Lexis Anderson, my great attorney, by the way, over there at the 1776 Law Center. The power of InfoWars lies not in waking people up, but inspiring and activating them. Courage is contagious. And for many people, including myself, InfoWars was our first exposure to that collective thirst for freedom and prosperity. I can confidently say that my life, my career, and my health would not be where it is today had I not discovered the incredible hosts and guests to whom InfoWars gave a voice. Thank you, Lexis. Brother Nathaniel weighs in. You all at InfoWars have only just begun. One door closes, another opens wide. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. Timothy, lastly, InfoWars saved the world with the word of God and the truth. Thank you, Timothy. So many great replies here. Adam Brinson Designs, great artist, by the way. He's done good work for me. And he has a beautiful portrait of Alex there he shares. Alex Jones has been in this fight for 3 decades. He's played a role in almost everyone's journey to the truth. So long as he has a voice, the people will listen. God bless you all. And here's to the future. So many. If I don't get to yours, I apologize. I'm trying to read as many as possible. I do want to continue to take calls, and I got some other news I want to cover. I'm going to give some other shout-outs to people that are playing our show in their places of business today. So we got a couple more of those coming as well. Let's take another call before our final break of today's transmission. Let's go to Albert in Pennsylvania. Albert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Hey, Owen, I just wanted to call and make sure I got a chance to call in today, and I just wanted to thank you personally for being a part of my life on a daily basis now for probably about 4 years, and being an InfoWars fan, you know, for 15-plus years, you know, back in the days, like I remember watching Loose Change 9/11, for the first time. And, you know, this is kind of surreal and almost kind of a bittersweet moment, you know, with the big win last week with Trump and everything. But
I just wanted to wish you nothing but the best and let you know that InfoWars will live on. And I'm going to keep praying for the best for you. And, you know, just let everyone know that, you know, Owen's number one.
Well, thank you for that, Albert. And, you know, you bring up Loose Change. You want to talk about a major Red Pill documentary that, of course, Alex was a major part of. Loose Change is certainly one of those game-changing, you know, view-altering documentaries that if you haven't seen, certainly worth a watch. It's a very eye-opening documentary. Albert, really appreciate you. Really appreciate you. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Brian in North Carolina. Brian, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Another long-time listener, first-time caller. But anyway, I went early vote here in North Carolina, and I had my InfoWars Mean Like a Wolverine shirt on, Trump shirt.
That's
the guy said, you can't wear that. Yeah, he said, you can't wear that in here because we got a candidate on it. And I said, okay. But I turned around kind of like sideways and took that shirt off, and I was kind of ready. I had my other InfoWars shirt, Hillary for prison, on. But I kind of had the prison covered up. So
that one might be legit. She's not a candidate. And so I don't know. Did they let you wear that?
Yeah, I said, is this one okay? He said, yeah, she's not a candidate. So I moved my other shirt out of the way where it said for prison. And when he seen that for prison on there, his jaw about hit the floor. I said, you said I could wear it? He said, yeah, you can. But anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. I just want to call and say thank you for all y'all done and enjoyed listening to you for many years.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. That's a funny story. That Hillary for prison, fair game, not a candidate. So I guess really, you know, it's pretty safe to assume you can wear that shirt, the classic InfoWars shirt. You can wear that shirt to vote from now on for the rest of your life. You can wear the Hillary for prison T-shirt to vote the rest of your life because she will never be a candidate again. Maybe I shouldn't speak too soon. Probably fair to assume that, though. Let's squeeze in one more caller before our last break. Let's go to Trapper Dan in Wisconsin. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello there. Name's Trapper Dan. I used to do mining deep underground there, hunting wild game. Now I'm a trap guy, and I ain't whistling Dixie when I say InfoWars is a big old hole trap for that dirty Illuminati. They can't help but fall in that rabbit hole pit trap. Debate is the debate. You look at it, whole world's a big old trap for Jesus. And I just want to call and tell you guys that.
Well, you know, I wonder, they sit here because they know attacking us and, you know, shutting us down, imprisoning us. I mean, it makes us bigger. I mean, it hurts us short term, but then it gives us more potential for growth and to be bigger and more known. But they just figure, well, no, we got to go in. We got to shut them down. We got to imprison them. We got to sue them. I mean, it proves that we're right. It proves that they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. It's just total confirmation.
There's a poem, Thomas Gray's poem, Ode on a Distant Prospect of Eton College, says at the end of it, long poem, but end of the poem, famous line, ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise.
Well, you know, I don't think ignorance is bliss any longer. You might think it's bliss when you're ignorant, but no, not for the rest of us. Trapper Dan, thank you for the call. All right, we still got callers to get to. I got a couple more shout-outs as well on the other side, and we are going to cover some other news, some other video clips as well in this final segment. But, you know, for people tuned in wondering, any updates? Have you heard from Alex? Nothing to speak of yet. If there is any breaking news, Alex will have it at Real Alex Jones on X. So that if there's any developments, anything, follow there. As of right now, we don't know anything. Plan is to still be on air the rest of this show and tomorrow. So just continue to tune in for updates and continue to tune in for the best information, the best broadcast out there.
Mr. President-elect and former President,
thank you,
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having a, like we said, smooth transition. do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today. So
good.
Welcome. Welcome back.
And thank you very much. And politics is tough. And it's, in many cases, not a very nice world. But it is a nice world today. And I appreciate it very much. And a transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get. And I very much appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, nobody seems happier than Joe Biden right now. Nobody seems to be happier with the Trump victory than the current president himself, Joe Biden. Now, a lot of people are saying that this makes them nervous because they think that it's just the Democrats playing possum and that they're up to something. I still believe that I think a deal's been cut. I think for Biden, you know, he felt betrayed when the Democrats ran the coup on him. I don't think he's ever gotten along with Kamala Harris. And I also think a deal has been cut between Trump and Biden for mutual pardons. So that's what I think is happening with Biden. And yes, the radical left will play their games. But I think that the real top brass of the Democrats are just kind of moving on, I think. I think they're looking at 2028, and hopefully they won't have to deal with Trump then, and they're just trying to recircle the wagons and go into retreat right now. Because everything they've done for really 8 years now, or at least the last four and last two, did not work. And, you know, short of whatever they pulled in 2020, they can't even win an election, folks. So they know it. And we're on to their game. By the way, you know, tons of MAGA hats out in Washington, D.C. today. When was the last time you saw that? Well, actually, you probably know. You know, I used to go to D.C. in high school for the pro-life march every year. And it was, you know, it was just kind of D.C., kind of touristy thing, and it was fine. It was, I always keep it pretty clean. And then post-COVID, it turned into really a dystopian nightmare in 2020. And then when the Democrats got in charge of Congress and the White House, it just became really like a communist hellhole. And D.C. turned into one of the most depressing places on earth. When Trump was president, from 2016 to COVID, D.C. was one of the hottest, most vibrant, fun places to be. I mean, it was bumping. It was a blast. High energy, enthusiasm, just an awesome place to be. Real fun, just great atmosphere. Post-COVID and then the Biden White House, it's like a depressing hellhole now. You feel like it's starting to swing back. You feel like it's starting to swing back. All right, I think, do we have an update here? Jones has entered the studio.
I have an update. It's not final stuff, but I do have some updates. I figure your people would want it.
Yeah, come on in.
Well, why don't you talk a while, air a clip, and then get the chair in here. I'll come sit in here. I'll come in like 5 minutes.
All right, we'll get an update from Alex here in 5 minutes. No, we're going to get the chair set up. And get an update from Alex here in 5 minutes. We'll take a couple calls. If you guys just want to come in and set it all up while we're taking calls, or I can cover some of this news, that's fine. Let me give these shout-outs real quick, actually. MAGA R. Young 3069, he's working right now in the warehouse wearing his InfoWars hat and T-shirt. Says he wears it every day while he works. Big shout-out, R. Young 3069. Thank you. Dillard Properties in Texas. Dillard Properties in Texas. They air InfoWars in their offices every day. We thank you, Dillard Properties. Volvo Penta Andrew also runs InfoWars in their shop every day. They got their shop there. They got their dog there with InfoWars up on the big screen. Thank you, Volvo Penta. Shore Company SLC in Utah plays InfoWars at their office every day. Thank you, Joey from Shore Company in Utah. Demon Performance. They obviously they like high-octane vehicles. Demon Performance. They listen to InfoWars every day in the shop. Very nice. You guys are making cars faster and more fun listening to InfoWars in the shop. Big shout-out to you. We thank you for that. All right. I think so. You guys just, Alex can just come in whenever he wants. We'll just do it all live. Because I just don't even want to. We got a lot of callers here, so we'll just keep taking calls. Let's go to Laura in Louisiana. Laura, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Great to talk to you. It's been a phenomenal ride. While you're doing shout-outs, I work for a Patriot in New Orleans. So shout-out to Badass Uncle Sam. I was a tour guide in New Orleans, worked for a Patriot, who turned me on to you guys in 2012. Of course, I couldn't stop and talk to him. I had 12 people behind me on a bicycle, so it was impossible. But we always played InfoWars in the store. We had InfoWars stickers on our benches where they would sit, etc. You guys are just the shining star, not only in America, but throughout this planet. And you will only grow bigger and stronger. As Alex says, and we all say, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
Well, you know, I just can't even imagine the enemies of truth, the people that want to see InfoWars and Alex and everybody here shut down and myself shut up, because I didn't even really think about it. It really wasn't the strategy. Like, I just wanted to give the audience at least one last time to call in. But now I'm thinking about it. It's like, I can't imagine, because you know they tune in too. I know for a fact they tune in, because any time they can find something, some hiccup to try to hurt Alex or hurt me or sue us or anything, they're always listening just for that opportunity. And I just wonder, it's like when they sit here and they listen to this and they just hear the love from the audience and they hear the love from the people that have been listening for decades, for 4 years, for 2 years, for a month, and they just hear the support and they hear the words. It's like, do you get it? Like, you're the bad guys. Like, you're the ones, you suck.
Beyond suck. You're like the ultimate suck they are.
You know, it's just like, do they hear the, it's like, I could sit here, I could take 1,000, I could take 10,000 calls. Alex could take 100,000 calls, all like you. Nothing but love, nothing but appreciation. I mean, that's all it is. And it's just like, they just sit there. I mean, it's I just wonder how, like, don't you get it? Like, you are the bad guys. You are anti-we the people. You are anti-free speech. You are anti-truth. You are anti-organic media. You are anti-grassroots. You are anti-America. You suck. You suck. And even if you're successful in shutting this place down, you will still suck. You will still be miserable. You will still be the enemy of the people. And you'll never be satisfied, because no matter what happens, you will still suck. You will still be a loser.
Evil will never be satisfied, because they want to suck the soul out of America, out of the Patriots, out of you and Harrison and Alex and your phenomenal crew. They want to suck the soul out of us, but America has spoken. We will not back down. You will not take our soul at all. You know, I mean, we have stood up. We have had enough, and we are done, you know, with this. And we are going to take America back.
Yeah, and I can already feel it happening. I mean, look, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to agree with everything. And, you know, I would just take it from that perspective and just try to avoid purism and just, let's just see where it goes. Take everything with an open mind and an open heart. But, I mean, take the victory that we're getting. Take the momentum that we're getting, because it's the opportunity we've been waiting for. It's the opportunity that of a lifetime, really, to save this country. And then with it goes the rest of the world, I believe. All right, let's go to Timmy in Ohio. Timmy, you're on the air. Go ahead. And by the way, any moment now, Alex Jones will be entering studio with an update. Timmy in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, we welcome Alex in the studio. Hey, Owen. This is Timmy Russell from the band Rose Funeral. I'm a longtime listener, and I just want to say you guys are the best, period. we're here to destroy the New World Order, and you guys are the best there is. I've been supporting you guys on your online store with your iodine and your nitric boost, and I just want to say InfoWars forever.
Well, thank you, Timmy. And I think Alex is entering the studio now, so we're going to get an update here live in studio. Alex Jones joins us 5:44 local central time here on a fateful day. The internet auction has concluded. We're waiting for information. Alex Jones joins us.
All right. I have a lot of news, but I don't know if the good guys or bad guys bought it. What I do know is I don't have a good feeling. Months ago, the judge approves the sale of it. The Democrats didn't even want that. They just wanted it closed because they didn't want somebody to be able to buy it. They put a lot of pressure on the new federal trustee that's part of the process, who they say is a good guy, and it seems nice to me, Chris Murray, but he's just by the book, they say. But then it didn't go by the book. Monday at like 3 p.m., my lawyers call and go, yeah, he just called and sent us this thing. Now it's not going to be an online auction with a big auctioning place where everybody can see it like a regular auction happens where people bid up. No, now there's a final bid's got to be in by 10 a.m. Wednesday morning, November 13th today. And they open the bids from the approved bidders that have already gotten in the process. And then it goes to the highest bidder. But then there's a new proviso that they can also sell it to somebody for less if they want, if he decides. So you can't bid in public, and suddenly auctions aren't about getting more, where everybody can see it and anybody can go in and do that, and they can sell it for less. And we were told by the auction place that was very close to the vest, but, you know, we were calling him today saying, do you have any idea when this is going to be? My lawyers were. And they were just like, well, probably a few hours, won't take long, but, you know, who knows, could be tomorrow. And then my lawyers talked to the trustee guy, and he said, well, we didn't say that, so that's not true. We said, well, how long? He said, I don't know. Might take days, might take longer, might, you know, whatever. So here's the new news. Just about 15 minutes ago, I get the call, and Chris Murray and the U.S. trustee from the Justice Department, that's who's assigned to this, because they want to come in, they can, that's what's happened, said, okay, you'll now know in the morning. We'll email you in the morning. Didn't say what time, just got that. So I just don't know if it's really going to go to the highest bidder. Why would they say in the new rules, and I guess this guy can do anything he wants unless the judge shoots it down, which we may challenge if we don't like what happened. Why would you say it goes to the highest bidder, but we can choose a lower bidder if we want? So that doesn't sound like any auction I've ever heard of, or I've been to a few. We go up to Arkansas once a year when I was a kid that, you know, and Hot Springs, they have famous art, you know, art things and antique estate sales. And my parents bought like a vase or a rocking chair. I remember doing that. And, you know, it was like they go to the first bid, they go to the second bid. It keeps going till going once, going twice, going three times, sold to the woman in blue or sold to the man in the brown shirt. This looks like nothing I ever heard of. And I've talked to the lawyers and other people involved in bankruptcies. They say very rare to change it days before and say it's going to be just the highest bid and that's it. So, I mean, this is crazy. And then also, my lawyers aren't told anything. We're not told anything. That's the rules. And then last night I get an email, CNN goes, well, we talked to people on the inside, and Alex Jones has friendly people that have put in the biggest bid, which my people I said that I would work with, it's not me doing it. In fact, I don't even know what they bid. I'm not allowed to know. How did whoever this was, like, they didn't know they had the biggest bid. And maybe CNN's wrong, or, you know, the seven-figure bid or whatever. So, I mean, maybe it's fake news from CNN. But this is like electronic voting machines. It's just a black box. I mean, I don't know how this inspires confidence. I don't know how, you know, this U.S. trustee, they stay as a straight shooter, told me to my face with my lawyers months ago, oh, yeah, we know under law we can't sell the name Alex Jones show. We can't sell real Alex Jones. You know, that's clear. That's your likeness. That's your personal thing. But then they filed, the Democrats did, to own my name. And then he said, we're going to go ahead and sell your name. And I challenged it with the judge. The judge said they couldn't do it 3 weeks ago. So that was taken out of the sale. And people have to understand this. People say, oh, you can just broadcast from your house, Alex. You can take it off the air. You can just... I'm a person under attack because we're effective and have a giant audience. We have to have constant legal, just like Trump, to an ongoing fight with these people. It's just, it's war. We have a crew. We have 24-hour news, 10 hours a day live. We have researchers. We have video editors. We used to have even more reporters. We are not just, which is great, people at home shooting videos or doing their own little shows, which are great. Some are huge. I'm saying we're trying to build and did build a real network. That's what threatens them, because we're bigger than the dinosaur media, but we also would like to have the equipment and skills and checkbook at least 5%. You know, MSNBC, CNN spend billions a year in their budgets. Our budgets have been gross, you know, $50 million a year, but that's selling products. So let's say we get $25 million a year, you know, for the bandwidth and the satellites and the cost, the legal. So we've done this on a shoestring compared to those folks, and we're reaching hundreds of millions a day right now, thanks to Elon Musk. We were still reaching tens of millions a day before. We're on over 400 radio stations now. We've grown to the biggest ever, the Streisand effect. So it's critical for us to be here to get Trump in and defend the agenda and also look for bad guys and help spotlight stuff. I mean, I'm personally getting stuff to Trump that he didn't know about with Pompeo. I'm going to leave it at that. I mean, today, Trump's like, well, Roger, you know, you're the one that tried to get Tulsi to be the VP before Vance came along, who we think is just as great or better. You know, Roger, he was her booster. So 30 minutes before Trump breaks it, he goes, here, Roger, you can have this. And then Roger's coming on and breaks it with me. You know, so, I mean, we have those connections to Trump. And that's one of the big things pissed them off in 2016, 17, 18, was that I'd be like, hey, sir, he'd be calling up when I got remarried. You know, such a cool guy. And I'm grabbing the phone away after 5 minutes going, sir, thank you. Keep her. She's great. We love your work, Alex. I'm like, Fiona Hill, she's on Soros's board. She's the mole. And then they fire, and it's like 60 minutes. Alex Jones is evil. Oh, God, he attacked the innocent Fiona Hill. We blew the cover of a bunch of their people, okay? We kept Rubio early on from getting an administration. Well, it's like it's going to happen now. So they came after us. The point is we've got important work to do on air and off air. And so if listeners are sick of this, we've survived attack after attack. The last U.S. trustee tried to shut us down in late May without a court order, with a total bluff with armed security. I said to the private security company, you don't have a court order. They went, that's true, we're not going to do this. Listeners, when I went on air and freaked out about it, thought I made it up, some people. And then it came out in the news, in an emergency hearing. They go, yeah, we did try to shut it down. And the judge said, why? And he goes, there were guns. That was Pat McGill, the last guy. And the judge said, well, would they do anything with the guns? No, but there was just a security issue. Never had the police here for any problems. Yeah, we got concealed carry. You know, I got a gun in my office. It was like, it's just like, well, they're conservatives. They've got guns. So this is the otherworldly crazy town we're in. And I told my lawyers, I said, I don't care if our buyers had $1 billion. They've always said they don't want money. And we know the Democrats, you know, can sue the trustee. They can do all this stuff. So I don't have a lot of confidence. But people are pointing this out right now all over the place. I hope the trustee does the right thing if we were the biggest bid. But I've never heard of a process like this. Have you, Owen?
Well, you know, there used to be ethics in the process of justice, and you feel like it's all out the window. You know, you used to be able to not get away with being unethical when you were involved in law practice, whether it was from the bench or from a legal office. And you hear stories like this, you see what's been done to you. I've dealt with it too. And you just sit here and you say, man, there's just the lack of ethics. And this is why people, unfortunately, because there are good lawyers out there, but this is why people look at lawyers and just immediately have negative connotations because of crooked lawyers and unethical lawyers. And it's always the same people. You know, it's always, whenever you look at some of these politicized cases and yours and Elon's and mine, it's, you know, it's always the same people. So,
well, that's why Trump is so popular with foreign leaders. Even if they disagree with him, they say it's so refreshing when he says something, he means it and you can stand on it. And I think things are so unethical that the people in the system don't even think it's unethical. It's that like, no, we're not going to try to sell your name. Try to sell the name. No, this is set open public auction. Nope, sorry, it's not now. And then I'm not even saying those people themselves think they're bad. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? All I know is that we're straight. We had the federal court for 2 years put in investigators, outside auditors. They all, the Democrats, filed and said I was hiding hundreds of millions, and my parents were, and they sued them and basically bankrupt my parents. Nothing was hidden. Nothing was a lie. They audited us, and the IRS gave us a huge refund check. And again, maybe that means things aren't as corrupt as I thought, because they went, well, actually, you overpaid taxes. But they had one. Some agencies don't like another agency trying to get them to do dirty work either. But, I mean, dude, you think I'm going to do unethical criminal stuff when I'm a major target? Plus, I'm not even like that. I don't do my checkbook. I have respected accounting firms. Because, I mean, I know I'm a damn target. So, yeah, I'm just sick of being hunted. I'm sick of these people doing this. And I just once wanted something to be transparent. And it's certainly not transparent. They've certainly changed things in the middle of the deal. They certainly keep moving the goalpost. It's like Alice in Wonderland Tea Party, where, you know, they're pouring drinks from here and it's falling out of there and going here and you can't.
Well, and normally how this goes
it's
is...
It's like a shell game. You know, well, where's the pee? Where'd it go? Oh, here,
you know. Well, the plaintiffs are supposed to be, you know, plaintiffs are supposed to seek out legal counsel, not vice versa. And then the plaintiffs are supposed to seek out what they want, you know, after the case is finished, not vice versa with whatever lawyers or anybody else that's involved. And then the trustee is just supposed to be, like you said, going by the book. So you just wonder, it's like, you know, who is it? Because, I mean, I don't remember any of the plaintiffs saying, like what the lawyer said in the courtroom, saying, no, we want Alex shut down. Well, wait, is that what the plaintiffs want? Or is that like, who, you know,
it's all political. And then they say, he won't give us money. He won't give us money. They said they didn't want a $70 million settlement. They don't want money. They want to silence people. I didn't do the things they said. They had PR firms exaggerate, make all this stuff up and be victims, then raise massive amounts of money in PR ads all over Twitter, all over Google, all over Facebook. He's attacking us. He's coming to get us. Give us money. None of that was true. So look, if we get shut down, the Alex Jones Network, we've got sponsors, thealexjonesstore.com. That's doing okay. It's not launching perfectly, but we want to really go big here. So support us. It's that it goes on and on and on. So you think you're sick of watching this? I mean, because, you know, all the attempted shutdowns were damn real. They later admitted it all. I know it sounded crazy. You were here, Owen. And people went later when they went, yeah, we, in court, yeah, we went and tried to shut it down. And people were like, wait, without a court order, it just shows the vigilantism. So I want to hope that this doesn't turn out like that, Owen. But regardless, we can't count on any of this. People got to go to thealexjonesstore.com, get great t-shirts, all these new great, very best Trump shirts, the collectible posters, the supplements. They're great products you need. And yeah, you know, we need your help. I mean, I want to thank those that have helped so far. And I just really want to continue on and not let them have victories. But that is in your hands. We're going to keep fighting. That's part of the equation. You keep supporting. That's the other part. The bad guys are going to keep attacking. But if we don't have you supporting and then we give up, we lose. We're never going to give up. We're seeing such success. Now's the time to press the attack. But, Owen, I love you. And it looks like this is going to go on for days. Who knows? The judge is supposed to sign an order before they actually shut us down. We'll see if he does what the last guy does and tries to shut us down without the judge's order. We're going to peacefully resist that, which means if there's no court order, they come to turn the lights off. I'm going to call the police and go, police. There's a guy here from the Justice Department with no court order saying, get out of the building. You expect to see an order, right? And the cops will be like, yeah, get out. So it looks like we're right back to that right now.
We'll have more updates on the Alex Jones Show tomorrow.
And this time we will show people the cameras. Because I didn't imagine, I didn't want to have a confrontation last time. Like, show us the security people. Show us they're in the building. This time, don't worry. You'll see the footage. Sorry, go ahead.
Another day in the books. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Stay tuned. Band.video @Alex Jones. And we'll do it all again.
God bless you, Owen. Thank you.